You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Gary Bauer. I'm Senior Vice President of Public Policy and Culture here at the Dobson Policy and Culture Center. I'm also the host of Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, the podcast here at JDFI. This is a special show. It's a very important show. It's a show that is incredibly important for Christians in America. This is a moment where we need tremendous discernment and we need leadership to help direct us about what God tells us, what the Bible tells us about events that are unfolding right now. In the last couple of years, we've seen an explosion of anti-Semitism around the world, and of course, here in the United States. Now, overwhelmingly, that's happened in places where the political left is in charge. It's happened in America's big cities, which are usually controlled by the left. It's happened on our university campuses, which are bastions of left-wing ideology and socialism and Marxism. It's really been disgusting to see Jewish students actually hiding in their dorm rooms. But during all of that outbreak of anti-Semitism, one of the great blessings has been to see Christians in America following the Bible and standing with Israel and standing in defense of our Jewish brothers and sisters against anti-Semitism. That's been a blessing, but that's why we're having this special show. Because in recent months, and particularly in recent weeks, a phenomena has sprung up of anti-Semitism among conservatives, and it appears to even been seeping into the church. And my friends, anti-Semitism is simply hatred of Jews. As Christians, we're not supposed to hate anybody, and we're certainly not allowed to hate Jews. Our Savior was an observant Jew. His mother and father were Jews. The Bible was written by Jews. So we wanted to figure out at JDFI, how do we address this poison, this heresy that's spreading even among fellow Christians? And of course, there's no better person to address this than our friend and colleague, Michelle Bachman. You know her, I assume, but just let me briefly remind you, she's got a resume that could take the entire show, and I know she doesn't want to do that, but she's a former member of Congress. She serves on the James Dobson Family Institute Board of Directors, where she gives us incredibly good counsel. She has been a friend of Israel for decades and been a strong voice against the poison of anti-Semitism. So, Michelle, let's get right to it because time is precious. You and I talked a little bit about this last night. We're all familiar with why the left is anti-Semitic and anti-Israel, but why do you think that all of a sudden we're seeing prominent individuals on the right and even some pastors suddenly embracing not only opposition to Israel, which is something we can all disagree about, but more specifically, embracing anti-Semitism and hatred of Jews?
Well, Gary, thank you for having me here today. This is an extremely important topic. In fact, in my opinion, this is the issue, the front burner, front and center issue that America is facing today. It is happening at lightning speed, almost like a blitzkrieg level of speed. And let me explain how. When I was in the United States Congress between 2006 and 2015, Israel was a bipartisan issue. I could have a conversation with Nancy Pelosi or any of the Democrats about Israel because we were all on the same page. The United States of America was full-throated in our support of Israel. We didn't necessarily agree with everything Israel did all the time, whether it was a Republican president or a Democrat president. We weren't always on the same page. We had conflicts, undoubtedly. But when it came to the basic understanding understanding. I believe, Gary, that because America was essentially a Bible-believing country, that people we at least had a foundation of biblical understanding. And whether people were Democrat or Republican, generally speaking, they were attending Christian churches. And so there was a basic understanding, if you had all read the Bible or if your pastor was preaching from the pulpit, that God is for Israel. And therefore, we should be for Israel. And God was for the Jewish people. We have a Jewish Messiah. And therefore, we are for the Jewish people. We're for a Jewish Messiah. So it's very, very recent, Gary, that the political structure on the left, the so-called Democrat Party, it's a party I no longer recognize. In less than 10 years' time, this political party, there's two parties in the United States, Democrats, Republicans, and the Democrat Party seems to be completely overwhelmed and overcome with anti-Semitism, with anti-Israel, anti-Jewish people. And this is even by people who are Jews themselves. They've turned on Israel and on support for Israel. It's a shocking level, even to the point, Gary, the listeners know that there was a huge election in New York City, and a man named Zoran Mandami was elected. He wasn't born in the United States. He was born in Uganda. He's a virulent anti-Semite. In other words, he's against Israel. He's against Jews. In fact, I saw a rabbi. I watched a video of a rabbi who sat down with Mandami just before the election. And Mandami said to him, the Jewish nation has no right to exist. There should be no Jewish nation. There should be no Israel. He was absolutely forthcoming. He's not trying to hide who he is.
This is really important because these people are very astute and very slippery. He'll say, well, it's okay to have a place called Israel, but it can't be, as you've just said, it can't be a Jewish nation. Well, that's what Israel is.
You know, that's right.
The Jews were in Israel when, as I've said many times, Washington, D.C. was still a swamp. So, an actual swamp.
Nothing changes, Gary. Nothing changes. No, you're right. 3,500 years ago, it was God's idea to create the Jewish nation and to place them in a specific land. He pulled the first Jew, which would be Abraham, out of what was southern Iraq and told him to come to a land that he would take him to. And that is what is now present-day Israel. And that forever, there's no expiration date, God is giving the land to the Jewish people. And it's the heart of the covenant, because there's sin that entered the world and God reconciled man to himself through the covenant. And the covenant is fulfilled by the Jewish people coming into the land and a Jewish savior that we know as Jesus, Yeshua. He was born in that land and he lived a perfect life and he died on the cross for our sins and for the sins of all mankind that has ever lived. That's the essence of the story. And so isn't it interesting that the number one issue in the world right now is to attack the central feature of the covenant, and that's that the Jewish people, by God, were brought to this land, and he gave them that land forever, and that salvation would come out of the Jewish people for the whole world. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says that all families on earth will be blessed. Every family, anyone who accepts Messiah can be saved from their sins and can come into the kingdom of God and be reconciled with God himself. And yet what we're watching right now, Gary, is the greatest twisting of the Bible into a lie that I've ever seen. And it's coming into America. America is the number one nation that has the people who support Israel more than any other people on earth. That's the evangelical Christians in America provide the most pro-Israel support for the Jewish people and for Israel. And by the way, you know this, Gary, that this is also the largest base of support for Donald J. Trump. So this is a huge issue that now we're being attacked. The Democrat Yes. Party has completely given themselves over, and their leadership has given themselves over to an anti-Israel view, an anti-Semitic view. So when Mamdani won, who embraces communism and he embraces jihadists, Islamic jihadists, there wasn't one National Democrat register any alarm over Mamdani's election after he was elected.
Look, there are many prominent Jewish Democrats, including a number of them from New York State. They not only didn't go after him for his anti-Semitism, but many of them endorsed him in the primary,
yes.
Where they had the choice of another Democrat that was, for liberals, relatively mainstream. But, this is a real example. The party is, they've either sold out on something that was always very important to them, and or they're just cowards. I was thinking the other day about Kamala Harris. You could have picked the governor of Pennsylvania to be her running mate. And I was scared to death she would as a conservative, because he would have probably delivered Pennsylvania. But he's a very articulate guy. But she couldn't pick him. And everybody knows why. He's a Jew. And she was afraid she would lose the Muslim vote in places like Michigan and Minnesota. So that's how far now all of this has gone.
Well, you're right. So we have two political parties in America, and one has been completely captured by an anti-Israel, anti-Jew, that's anti-Semitism, a Jewish hatred. So one political party in America has been completely captured by that view. It's almost unthinkable that it happened that fast. Like I said, I was in D.C., you're also in D.C., and I did not see anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party up until 10 years ago. And now this party has completely been captured to the point where you can't even have a Jew on the presidential ticket, and you can't denounce anyone who's an anti-Semite in that party, because then you'll be denounced. The party has gone so radical. But now the reason why we're here, Gary, is because now we're seeing there's an intentional targeting and an intentional creating of division. Because God calls us to unity. He calls us to love. But there's an intentional targeting of disunity, the sowing the seeds of discord among those of us who are on the right. And so we might be described as Republicans. I'm not saying everybody on this who's listening to us, you have to be a Republican to be biblical, or you have to eschew Democrats. We're not here saying that. We're not talking about politics. We're actually talking about being biblical, because there's an effort right now to turn people who are on the political right to an unbiblical viewpoint. And that's what's important. An unbiblical viewpoint has been completely embraced. It dominates the political left now in America. But now the right is being told with all sorts of lies. We are being targeted intentionally to adopt an anti-biblical view regarding Israel. And what we need to understand, we say, well, so what? Well, this is the so what. Then we are going to be hurt as individuals. We're going to be hurt in our churches. We're going to be hurt in our nation. And the Bible tells us that, because the Bible says we are blessed when we bless Israel, and we are cursed when we curse Israel. And there's only one criterion upon which nations will be judged by God in the last days, and that's, how did a nation treat Israel? Did we seek to divide the land or scatter the people? So we need to be sober about this, especially knowing that the Bible says that in the last days, Israel will stand alone. There won't be one nation that will come to Israel's defense. And, Gary, that has been hard for me to think when I look at the level of support in the United States for the Jewish people. We love the Bible, so we love the Jewish people. And so it's hard for me to think, as a nation, we wouldn't come to the support of Israel. Well, if you figure half of America who identify with one political party, already the leadership of that party, not necessarily all the rank and file Democrats, but the leadership are anti-Semitic. It's Jew hatred. But now on the right, we have some of the most prominent conservative voices in America, almost out of nowhere, beginning this summer. In fact, I noticed it in July. These voices started raising, and I thought, well, they're just being crazy. They're just trying to attract an audience. But this is going so far that they're even invoking the name of Charlie Kirk, the tragic loss of Charlie Kirk in an assassination. People are even using his name and saying that Charlie Kirk was opposing Israel, and that's the direction he went. And so this weekend, his pastor came out, his former pastor, Rob McCoy, and his very good friend, Frank Turek, came out, and both of them said, this is not true. Charlie supported Israel. He loved Israel. He just didn't want to see America get involved in forever wars, and that's another issue.
Yeah.
But Charlie himself was pro-Israel, and he was for the Jewish people. In fact, he was one of the greatest defenders on college campuses. So we're being hit with lie upon lie upon lie. And the targets, we have to realize, our churches are being targeted to turn away from the Bible and turn away from support for Israel. The seminaries are being targeted to teach unbiblical truth to our pastors. We're being targeted through the political commentary out there today that's directed at the right, but our kids are being targeted. And this has been very effective, Gary. A lot of young people, the polling shows, they've been turning to Christ, historic levels of Bible sales, historic levels of revival among young people and attending church for the first time. And yet, they are the ones that I think Satan himself is targeting. So they get an unbiblical view of Israel and support of the Jewish people. That's why we're here today, Gary, because we don't want our audience to be unaware of this intentional attack that's going on. And you and I talked about this last night, that this is intentional. And we know this. An article came out in May that demonstrated that an anti-Semitic nation, the nation of Qatar, which is an Islamic nation, they are the number one funding of Islamic terrorism in the world today. Qatar has spent upwards of $200 billion. I said that with a B, billion. In the last couple of years, they've spent upwards of $200 billion targeting us. Targeting us, our churches, our seminaries, our kids, with anti-Israel views. They've already conquered one political party in America, the Democrat Party. Now they're going after the conservatives. They're going after the right. And that's why we're here today, Gary, to talk about this, so that we in the church aren't like sheep that are about to be devoured by false prophets, false wolves, false speakers, even people that we've enjoyed in the past, high-profile voices on the Republican Party or in the conservative movement. And again, we're not trying to be Democrat, Republican. We're trying to be biblical. But we need to realize that we are at risk here in the United States of losing a very important biblical stance when it comes to supporting Israel and the Jewish people.
You're absolutely right, Michelle. Michelle is warning you about all of the areas that we need to be concerned about. I would specifically urge you to watch or look at or monitor what your young sons and daughters are looking at online, what influencers they're following. You might want to talk at the dinner table with them about issues like anti-Semitism and see if you see any or hear any signs that they may be getting influenced by people that seem to be mainstream conservatives, but who on this issue have really gone over the edge in a way that is dangerous. Michelle, I've heard from some parents in the last month or so sending me things that their son or daughter sent them from college, saying, Mom, why do you always talk about Israel all the time? I learned the other day that, and then it would be one of these myths or one of these slanders. I mean, we're living in a blizzard of lies. It's 24 hours a day. So as Christian parents, we need to make sure that our sons and daughters are not being seduced by this. And as you said, Michelle, when a country throughout history goes down the road of Jew hatred, that almost always is a precursor to really horrible things happening in that country, often involving the loss of liberty. So this is a very important moment.
No, you're exactly right. And when you consider that it was about 25 years ago when the Twin Towers were destroyed by Islamic terrorists, that was New York City, and that was September 11th, 2001. And so we lost not only the Twin Towers, we lost Flight 93 over Pennsylvania. We also had another plane slam into the Pentagon. And when you think in 25 years, the population of anti-Semites in America was infinitesimal. You could barely register the number of Islamic citizens in the United States. It was barely noticeable. In 25 years, we've had a huge demographic shift in the United States. And probably the number one reason for the rise of anti-Semitism in America has been the demographic shift. We have people that have been coming into the United States for citizenship from anti-Semitic countries, countries that absolutely hate Israel. There could be no more anti-Semitic country than Iran, led by the Ayatollahs, or Qatar, the chief funder of terrorism in the world. There's 56 Islamic nations, and all of them are anti-Semitic. But we've had a huge influx of people into the United States holding virulently anti-Semitic views, and then having children here in the United States and advancing their views. Once they got on American soil, they didn't abandon their views. They didn't abandon what they believe. And so we're dealing with this. You see that in France today, in Spain, in Sweden. You see this in the United Kingdom, probably no better example. So the West is being conquered literally in Europe through anti-Semitism, through Jew hatred, yes, through people who hold those beliefs. Now we're seeing that here in the United States. And that's why we have to stand up. So we are not a people without hope. And I know here, Gary, you have a tremendous footprint across the United States with your voice and your program. And here God has placed me at Regent University. And so I have witnessed this rise of Jew hatred in the United States. And so we've been trying to promote as much as we can through young people to teach them about Israel, what the Bible says, and make sure with their youth groups that they are intentionally teaching their children, because the nation of Qatar is spending $200 billion here in the West, in America, buying up universities, buying up influencers on TikTok, buying up media newsrooms to have anti-Israel messages and pro-Islamic messages. So we need to recognize the moment and not let the Israel haters take an inch of ground away from those of us who embrace what the Bible says, a biblical view of Israel. So here's something else. The Christian Broadcasting Network just released a new film. It's called The Oracles of God. It's about the Bible. If you go to the Christian Broadcasting Network, they have film after film after film on Israel. Excellent materials that you can show in your churches or to your children so that they can see this. You can just stream this. We also created here, and I'm not trying to do a promo for Regent, I'm just giving you an example of solutions. We started the Israel Institute here. And so every week we have movies and discussions about books about Israel. We sent three of our students to Israel to study this year, to be there. And this spring, we're going to take our first group of students to Poland so they can see Auschwitz. Wow. Do you know the shocking number of young people who've never heard of the Holocaust, who don't know 6 million Jews were killed in World War II? It's unbelievable, the ignorance that's out there. We started a scholarship, a PhD scholarship, so we'll give a free ride to a student that wants to study about Israel and get a doctorate degree. So we're taking this moment to educate people. And we also need to recognize we just observed the anniversary of Kristallnacht. Kristallnacht is the night of broken glass. And it was the night when we saw the worst persecution of the Jewish people during World War II under Nazism. And so really, that's also in part, Gary, why you and I are here talking today, yes. Because we're seeing a different type of broken glass in America, where one political party has already been captured by Jew hatred. And now, I never thought I'd live to see the day. We're seeing that now on the conservative right.
Yes. And, you know, Michelle, there's an ancient theological error, and it's been around a long time. And I, over the years, I'm sure you've heard this, that the Jews are Christ killers.
Yes.
That the Jews crucified Jesus. And that problem, that bad theology, has been there for centuries. And it in Europe, before the Reformation, that theme often resulted in pogroms where people would see a passion play about the crucifixion of Christ. Christians would see this, and then they would leave, and they would go outside and go to the nearest Jewish neighborhood and beat up Jews and destroy property and so forth. First of all, Rome was responsible for the death sentence and the crucifixion of Christ. But at any point, Jesus could have called down an army of angels, and he wouldn't have been crucified. He was sent here as the perfect lamb to die and be resurrected in order to save all of us from our sins. So all the sins before he was crucified, the sins taking place during the crucifixion, and all sins forever after were wiped away. But it is our sin that required the crucifixion. We are responsible for the crucifixion, not the Jews.
That's right. And Jesus himself said, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down for my friends." Mm. And so from Jesus' own mouth, he didn't accuse the Jewish people. He said that he wanted to give his life so that we could be reconciled unto God. That's our Jewish Messiah. It would be a sin for us to hate the Jewish people when God is the one who created the Jewish people, who laid out in Genesis 15, 18, the actual boundaries of Israel. And he said, "Forever, I will put the Jewish people on this land," the Genesis 15, 18 land. That's the people of the covenant, the land of the covenant. We are people of the covenant because we believe God. Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him as righteousness. It's the same for you and I. We believe the promise of God that Messiah would come and save us from our sins, just as you so beautifully stated. And that's true for everyone listening right now. Anyone listening who doesn't know Jesus, you can know Jesus right now. You can receive the free gift of salvation that Jesus gave us on the cross. That's the truth that sets us free. But it's centered in the covenant. And that's why, Gary, it is so sinful to oppose the word of God in an unbiblical way and then turn our backs on the Jews, because we will pay a price as a nation. We'll pay a price when our leaders in our nation act or speak in an unbiblical way. And that's why we have this platform today for you and for me to be able to speak out what the Bible says about the central issue of our time, which is the rise of Jew hatred across both political parties. And we have to call it out in our own party and say that we will have nothing to do with Jew hatred on the conservative right and in our party. That's wrong. That's unbiblical. And that's what congregations and young people need to learn.
Absolutely. You know, when we were talking recently, Michelle, we both agreed on this fundamental point that the best way to fight any hatred, but certainly the best way to fight anti-Semitism, is to clean up your own house. You know, for me as a conservative, and it's no secret that we've both have been active over the years in the Republican Party, it's very easy to see anti-Semitism on the left and among Democrats and call them out for it because, you know, that's not our party. But when it's in our party or our movement, we really have an extra responsibility. So people that reject anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party, now is the time for you to make your voice heard. Sadly, maybe too late, but still try. And on the conservative side, now is definitely the time to speak out so that we don't find ourselves in the evil morass that the National Democrat Party currently finds itself in tolerating really a demonic anti-Jew hatred.
Yes, and what an awesome opportunity. I know just at my church last Sunday, the pastor said, there's so many new people here that I don't know your faces yet. And it's a part of this revival that we are in revival right now. God is bringing new people into the church. And what a great time to explain something that's relevant from the Bible. You know, a lot of young people don't like to go to church because they don't see the church as relevant. And so again, Gary, you and I aren't telling the pastors they've got to be political. We're doing just the opposite. We're saying be biblical. Explain to the young people, explain to the people in your congregation what the Bible has to say, what the truths are about this issue, because this is an undoing right now across the world. Israel is still under attack today. I know President Trump said that the war was over in Israel. The fact is, Israel is still being attacked by Hezbollah from Lebanon. They're still, Iran is trying to rebuild their nuclear program. Hamas is still trying to win the war against Israel. The Houthis just announced that they'll be continuing to fire against Israel. They might be taking a pause for a while, but this is ongoing. So what young people want are messages that are relevant to their lives. And trust me, they are being intentionally targeted by the likes of the anti-Semitic nation of Qatar and others. So they are targets for wolves. So are we going to stand by as the church and let our young people be pulled into an unbiblical viewpoint? We need to do just the opposite. We need to pull out all the stops and make sure that we are educating not only our young people, but all ages about what the Bible says. We have more resources than we've ever had. We have movies. We have all sorts of things that are available to do the teaching and the training. But we can't miss this moment because the window is over, open. The battle is engaged. And you've got the anti-Semites on the battlefield. And our children are on that battlefield. And the question is, will we get down on that battlefield and bring the word of God so that our kids can be saved and out of a biblical world view of the world?
You know, Michelle, this is one of those times that, you know, we miss Dr. Dobson every day, but this is one of those times where I really feel his absence. Dr. Dobson always rejected anti-Semitism.
Yes, he did.
He was a great supporter of Israel. You probably have heard him tell this story, but he used to tell it often about growing up, and it was 1948, I guess, when the United Nations was voting to reestablish the modern state of Israel, which has been the ancestral Holy Land and home of the Jewish people for thousands of years, but they were voting to recreate it after World War II. And Dr. Dobson's father yelled out to him, "Jimmy, get in here and listen to this." And he went into the living room where his father had the radio on, and they were calling out the nations of the world, and they were voting on whether the UN would re-recognize Israel. And Dr. Dobson's father said to him, "Jimmy, you're hearing Bible prophecy being fulfilled right now with your ears."
Amen.
That's what a Christian Zionist knows, right? That this has all been laid out in the Bible.
That's right. That was November 29th, 1947. And most people don't know that right after World War I, the Ottoman Empire collapsed, and that was the Islamic control over Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, what's now Israel, Jordan, parts of Egypt, parts of Saudi Arabia, all of that collapsed. And when it collapsed, you know, it's like the rule of war. Who, you know, to the victor go the spoils. So who's going to have control of that land? Because they had controlled the armies that we were opposing. We were a part of the Allies. So we met in San Remo, Italy. It was April 24th, 2020. And in that meeting, there were godly men. There were political leaders who understood the Bible. And they believed that God was working. This is 1920. April 24th, 1920 in San Remo, Italy. So the five nations that won World War I gathered, and they believed this was the godly moment. And so they opened up the Bible and they read Genesis 15:18, and they decided that they would create a land, a homeland for the Jewish people, and they put it in writing. And so legally under international law, since April 24th and April 25th of 1920, Israel was given by the victors of World War I the legal right to the land of Israel according to the biblical boundaries, and the nations dedicated themselves to helping the Jewish people return from all four corners of the earth to come back to Israel. This is an unknown story that people don't realize. That was then adopted by the League of Nations. And when the United Nations was created in 1945 after World War II, they adopted all of the treaties and all of the agreements that were adopted by the League of Nations. So the San Remo Agreement was incorporated by the UN at its founding. And so when they had this second vote on November 29th, 1947, which was actually just a sliver of what was given to Israel and the Jewish people in 2020, it was yet one more confirmation. And yet the real deed was given by God himself 3,500 years ago when he gave it to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. And God said it not just in the book of Genesis, but all through the Old Testament, through the book of Psalms, in the New Testament, God reconfirmed his covenant that forever, that's the timeline, forever the Jewish people would have the right to their God-given land. That's the real story. And the geopolitical story tells us too, Israel has a right to its land. The lie is that Israel is illegally occupying land that belongs to the Arabs. That's an absolute lie from the pit of hell. The truth is what the Bible says, and also what geopolitics says, that Israel has the right to live in their land. No matter what anyone says, they have the right. And that's why it's a privilege. It's a joy for parents, for pastors, for youth leaders to tell this story, because it's the most miraculous story that we can imagine. God's saving grace. He is the defender of Israel. It's his strong right arm that has saved and protected and brought back the Jewish people to their land. And so it's our privilege to rejoice with the Jewish people. And God tells us that we will be blessed as individuals as we agree with God's word about the Jewish people and about Israel. But also we need to recognize we will be cursed. And so if we as America, if we curse Israel, if we don't stand with the Jewish people's right to the land, things aren't going to go particularly well for us. And so praise God, we currently have a president in Donald J. Trump, which so many people have said is the most pro-Israel president in the entire history of the United States. And so it's up to us to pray for him and his administration, that America will remain in a posture of blessing the Jewish people, blessing Israel. And that's why it's up to our pastors and our pulpits to preach the truth. Because then we'll have peace in our land. Then we'll have unity, and we'll be able to do away with the division and instead be united under the word of God.
You know, Michelle, we both, because of our work over the years, love giving people action items, and we've done that in the show. You know, it's not enough just to talk at people. We need to give them things to do. And one of the things that it can be really helpful right now is that in recent years, we've not only seen this rise in anti-Semitism rhetorically and attacks on individual Jews, we're seeing attacks on synagogues and we're seeing attacks on churches.
Yeah.
And both of those things are horrible. On Family Talk, we have urged churches, for example, to look carefully at their own security because there's a lot of evil abroad in our country, and we can't be naive about that. Where I live in Northern Virginia, we have a synagogue that's less than a block away. And in the last 2 years, frequently, they have had police cars sitting outside on their Sabbath because of threats to the synagogue. Some of us went and talked to the people at the synagogue. I've done it personally and just said, look, we'll all keep an eye on your place of worship.
Yeah.
If you need any help, let us know. We'll pray for your safety and so forth. Right now, the Jews around the world are feeling in danger, put upon. The Jews of Europe are thinking about leaving in mass to go to Israel.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful time for us to show the Jewish people in America the love of Jesus Christ through us as Christians, to tell them we're praying for them, we stand with them, and that the people that hate them will have to come through us if they try to harm them.
No, you're right. And so many different public policy issues. It isn't just hearing the story of the Jewish people and the story of the covenant and church. It's on so many different issues politically. This issue touches, even in the area of immigration. We had talked about really the biggest driver of this rise of anti-Semitism, because like I testified personally in Congress, Israel was a united issue. We were all united. In fact, Gary, it was probably the one issue that I could talk to Democrats about, that I could talk to Nancy Pelosi about, was Israel, because we all agreed. We supported Israel. That was at least my experience through 2015. Shocking. And to see how quickly all that changed. And what has changed? It's demographics. It's the people who've been coming into the United States. We weren't overtly an anti-Semitic country. Yes, there had been anti-Semitism, but now we opened the floodgates to allowing millions of people come into the United States who hold severe Jew-hating views, anti-Semitic views. And don't think that hasn't changed our politics in the United States. So we're not forced to let anyone come into our country. Every single country on earth has the right to choose who they allow to come into their country. Let me tell you, Saudi Arabia doesn't allow Christians to come in, much less Jews, or any of the 56 Islamic countries. They don't let Christians and Jews come into their countries. And I even talked to the leader of Saudi Arabia, and we talked about churches. Do you ever foresee a day when there could be a church built in Saudi Arabia? Well, no, I guess not. He cannot foresee that day. And yet we allow mosques and all the rest. But we also have to recognize this doesn't come up without a price. And we have the right to restrict the people who come into the United States. And from my opinion, and again, this is just my opinion, not the view of Family Talk or Gary Bauer, but I think that we really need to think about who we're letting into the country. And bringing in anti-Semitism is not building up our country. It's hurting us.
Yeah, I think you can, on this, you can clearly speak for me, Michelle. look, we don't need to import any more hate into the United States.
No,
the United States has quite enough haters as it is. And, you know, and I know we both want to be careful. There's obviously the great majority of Muslims want to live peaceful lives and raise their children and so forth. But it's a demonstrable, proven fact that the more Islamic a nation is around the world, the higher degree of anti-Semitism there is. And in addition to that, overall, the less religious liberty there is. There are organizations that do studies on this, and the greatest violators of religious liberty around the world are communist countries and Islamic countries.
Exactly.
That's just the facts.
Exactly.
You know?
Plus, we also have the intentions. We hear from the mouths of Islamic leaders that they intend to conquer Europe. with Islam, for Allah. But they've said the same thing about the United States, that they are coming here again. We're not saying all, but there's enough who are openly stating here in America that their purpose for being here is to dominate and conquer. I'm from the state of Minnesota. I can testify to what I've seen. Minnesota and especially Minneapolis is a shocking difference from what it was before. And you can say that there are portions of Minneapolis that are conquered. In fact, the city council in Minneapolis was conquered. We thought we were going to have an Islamic mayor in Minneapolis, and we almost did. The reason why we didn't, most people don't even know why. The reason why we didn't get him is because of ancient tribal blood feuds from Somalia in Africa, because Minneapolis is the city that hosts, or the state that has the largest number of Somalis anywhere in the world outside of Somalia. And so these ancient blood feuds between tribes in Somalia, they still go on in Minneapolis. They kill each other. And they didn't vote for this guy. There was enough people. The fellow who is going to run is of a different Somali tribe than Ilhan Omar, who is the current congressional representative for the city of Minneapolis. So these two tribes didn't want to see this fellow become the new mayor. And yet two-thirds of the people sitting on the city council in Minneapolis support this guy who lost in the mayorship. He may win the next time. And so the anti-Semitic views, I'm not joking. I see it firsthand in my own state of Minnesota. I see this play out. They actually sound the Islamic call to prayer in the city of Minneapolis. This is what's done in Islamic countries. This is the first city in the United States to actually sound the Islamic call to prayer 5 times a day. When it's dark in the morning, and it ends when it's dark at night, and 5 times throughout the day. You don't want to think that your city isn't conquered? Minneapolis is most assuredly being conquered, just as Dearborn, Michigan is being conquered. And so this won't be restricted just to those areas. That's why demographics is the number one key component. But the second is what Gary and I are talking about today. And that's that we've got to wake up. We have to open up our eyes, open up our ears. And as Christians of all people, we have to prevail upon our churches that we have to teach the people within our congregations and most assuredly our children what we believe about the Bible, what the Bible says to be true. Because there are other people who are here in the United States with serious money, $200 billion spent in 2 years, $200 billion. I don't even know how you could spend that much money, but it's all being spent to sway and target our kids, our churches, our society, to hate Jews and to embrace Islam. So we're in the middle of this now. And that's why we took this opportunity to bring this to your attention today, to pray and to ask God what he would have you do, not for fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, and we're not trying to inspire fear in you. I'm not fearful. Gary's not fearful. You shouldn't be fearful. But it's to say we are to be what the Bible says, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We need to be like the men of Issachar, understand the times, and know what to do. And the Lord will save us. We fear no man, but we also need to be smart, and we need to not let an enemy in the camp.
Well, well said, Michelle. This has been a very important broadcast, and we appreciate you being available so quickly to do it. There's just a real sense that events are moving with lightning speed. You know, I think a lot of just regular liberal Jewish people in the Democrat Party recently have woken up and thought to themselves, how did this happen? What was I doing when my party went off in this direction? We now see this alliance of far left, almost Marxist ideologues joining with radical Islamists, and in cities like New York, actually being able to put together a majority to take over one of the most iconic cities in the United States. So, Michelle, thank you for all the work you do for our country and also in defense of Israel and your bold voice fighting anti-Semitism. Could I ask you to close us with a brief prayer that our nation would see the light on this issue and turn back to God?
Amen. Father, I thank you that in this moment you are here, you are present, you have not abandoned us. Lord, you have not given us a spirit of fear. And so, Lord, we proclaim that you are God, there is none other. We stand with you and with your holy word, and we stand with your covenant and with your chosen people set in your chosen land for the purpose of redemption of the whole world. So, Lord, thank you for this moment. Let America wake up and let our pastors fill the pulpits with the power of your word. Let this revival a moment in America, which we praise you for, let this revival moment be used to turn your people toward your word. And we thank you, Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michelle. That was wonderful. And thank you for being with us here at Family Talk. Be with us every day as we help you navigate the challenges of family life and keep you informed as a Christian citizen. God bless you.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.